Happy Sabbath, everyone. I hope you had a good Holy Days this past week, and I'm sure most of you are eating the regular bread now. I love that unleavened bread for 8 days. Usually the day before, and by the day after, I'm usually not eating unleavened bread. Once in a while, if I have a few left over. Hope you all had a good week. It's been a wonderful Passover season. It's just amazing how fast it's gone by. I was getting ready for services today, and there's an old man you got to watch going downstairs. I thought I was going to have to call Ron Barker about 11 o'clock and tell him I wasn't going to be able to make it. I fell down the last three stairs of my house and hit my foot, and I thought I may have broke toes or something, but seems to be all right. I had a lot of tingling, but I figured he wouldn't appreciate me calling him about 11 o'clock saying, would you like to have a sermon? But it's good to be here, and the foot is doing better. We have quite a blessing when you think about it. Every time I look out here and see all of you, my brothers and sisters, it's a great day. You know, because we have time to be together. God has made us be together if we love Him. And we certainly all love God because He's called us and opened our minds to His truth. So, I'm going to have a part two on the sermon I started last time. I thought I'd get done in one time, but I got sidelined a little bit and it took a little bit longer. So, sermon's title is, If You Don't Love Your Neighbor, You Don't Love God, Part 2. We will start off one thing to make you realize how much God cares for each and every one of us. Let's start off with John 3:16. Because sometimes we like to think it's just only us that God loves, but no. God loves every child. Every child that's born because they're His children. You know, you look at these young babies. I saw who was the twins of the Myers down in Cincinnati. Man, I can't imagine having two at one time, but I'm sure they'll do well. But double the joy. And then when they get older, it can be double the trouble. You just never know. But anyhow, everybody loves babies, correct? All right. Last time we talked about loving God. That's all I got through is four verses and God's commandments. This time we want to cover let me finish here first. I'm getting ahead of myself. In John 3:16, it says what? You've heard it many times. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm sure that all of us want all of our children, who may not be in the church now, or relatives, or people we've known, we all want all of us to be in God's kingdom. We know that is the ultimate prize that God has for each of us. And He wants each of us there. But He loves all of us. And we have to learn to love everybody. We don't have to love what they do, but we have to love the person and thinking someday that person may know what God has blessed me with today. You and I are truly that special people. So we'll go back to Exodus 20:12 and go over the last six commandments. We learned about God loving God. Now let's learn how we are to live our lives. Okay? It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. We are to be thankful for what we have and for what God has given us and for the blessings that we have. And if we obey God, then we will keep these commandments. You know. Now, we had Passover. And we went there and we understand how much God loves us. Because His Son gave His life that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. Because every time we do something is not according to this book, according to these laws, we deserve death. And one died for us, God's Son, Jesus Christ. That you and I could come forth at Passover time, look at ourselves and be forgiven and re-sign our contract basically with God. Yes, sir, I want to be with you. I want to do your will. Yes, sir, I want to be with you and in your kingdom. I want to do what you want me to do. And aren't we glad that we have Passover? Because we certainly need it. Now, whenever we see somebody do something wrong, we have to be careful how we look at someone who does not know God's truth. And even someone that may be God's truth, we are not to judge. We are to pray for them, but we are not to judge. We have all sinned. None of us are perfect. Christ suffered for you and for me. Every time we sin, some of that suffering Christ had was because of you or because of me. Sometimes we may not keep it personal enough whenever we do something like that and realize we need to repent immediately. But that's what we need to do. We need to realize what we have done. Foremost on our mind. Because you see, God loves us. God wants us to be with Him. And sometimes the consequences aren't as bad. Because if you keep sinning in that same sin, it can lead to real bad things for you. But if you see it and repent of it, then you're very aware of what it is. And you try to make sure we get rid of it. But turn with me now to Mark 12:28, if you will. Because we want to know that we're doing exactly what God wants. Matthew 12:28. Says, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? This is asking Christ. So this is New Testament. And this covers what Ten Commandments is. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. Now we had a good sermonette showing what Job did. It was a very good sermonette. Because Job loved God and no matter what happened to him, he did not blame God. That's what you and I need to do. When we have a problem, don't blame God. Either we have caused it on our own, or Satan's minor cause has a stumbling block for you and me. Because he hates you and me. Because God has called you and me now. This is the first commandment, is to love God. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Christ doesn't mince words, does he? He doesn't mince words at any time. He is very straightforward, very, very, what would you say, open to you and I in his holy word, trying so we understand what he wants us to do and what we have to do. And how do we do that? Well, we're to have love. Love for God our Father and love for all mankind. Not that we're better than anyone else. That's the thing Satan puts in us. That's called vanity. Greatness, thinking you're good. You're better than somebody else. That's not what God wants. God wants you and I to be humble, to understand what a blessing it is to be a part of His family now, knowing. And also, we look forward to the part you and I will be playing in His kingdom in the future. Helping some of these people, maybe, understanding God's way of life and having the opportunity to see them say, "Oh, wow, now I understand. I never understood that before." And they will be changing and we'll be there helping them. We got to look to the forward. We got to look forward. We got to look forward to the time that Christ returns. We got to keep our eyes on what we're doing physically, spiritually, every day. Because you see, you and I have a crown waiting for us. Yeah, you have a crown waiting for you. I have a crown waiting for me. But we have to finish the race. You know, this is a little bit of a sideline, but I'll go to it. I did write down in case I wanted to go to sideline. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4, 7, if you would. In 2 Timothy, Timothy is one who was loyal to God, loyal to Jesus Christ. In verse, in 2 Timothy 4, 7, it says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing." Timothy puts it pretty good. That's what you and I have if we finish the race. He had finished the race. He had done as he was told to do. He followed Christ. He changed. He grew. He was an apostle. What a blessing it is to know the truth of God. And that is what our goal must be. We are to keep God's laws. We are to forgive and love when someone does something wrong. Romans 13, 8 tells us what love is all about. What it does. Romans 13, 8. I have in my Bible it says, "Love your neighbor." Verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments shall say, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandments, all are summed up in this sayings, namely, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not do harm to neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." So as we are growing in God's grace and knowledge, we need to have a full heart of love for everyone. We need to make sure how we treat everyone. We need to make sure that we respect everyone. You may not like what your neighbor does to you or what he does with his life, but you're to love him and say, "But you will have a chance. She will have a chance because of God's love. and because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So why wouldn't we be rooting and caring about those who don't understand? That'd be like a minister not caring about his flock. And to pick out and say, well, that one's not there and that one isn't. You know, well, he is okay. No. The ministers love the whole flock, just as we love the whole flock. You and I love each other. We are brothers and sisters. Only because God has called you and I. I would probably never have met any of you. Would you have ever met everybody you've seen here? You may have met a few, if they're family and everything. But if it hadn't been for God's calling, you'd be out there just like the rest of the world, wondering. And having Satan, the evil one, destroying your life, if he can. And he can. He's stronger than any human being. We need God's Spirit to overcome Satan. You and I need to stay close to God at all times. That's the only way we're going to finish the race. That's the only way you and I are going to be able to do what God says. Because we have to finish the race. No matter how tough it gets, how hard it gets, our faith has to be in God. Knowing that we can finish the race and not to give up. Not to give up. Because that is what God has called you and I to do, is to be a part of His family, His coming family. In Matthew 22, if you'll turn there with me. Verse 1. It says, the kingdom of God is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. We're not willing to come. And this was his servants that wouldn't come. Again he sent out another servant saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted calf are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his own business. And the rest seized the servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. There is a penalty. God doesn't mess around. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? Can you imagine that? A king asking you that? And you were at his palace or his beautiful place? And he was speechless. What else could you be? You're pointed out. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You and I have been chosen by God to understand his word. We've been chosen to be a part of his divine family when he and Jesus Christ returns. Yes, you are important. Each of us are important to God. We are his children. He wants you and I to be with him and enjoy what he has prepared. And we don't have a hard-in idea of what God has prepared. We are so limited as human beings. We read things in there, and you look out at night and you see the sky, and you see all the stars and everything else out there. What's God going to do with that? What part are we going to play in this? I don't know, but I know God does. Any of us that are there are going to be a part of his family, and we're going to do something with whatever he has created. Because God is not going to stop. God loves a family. Have you ever seen a grandma who didn't want to be a great-grandma? Well, I've never seen one. My mother-in-law was 93 years old, and when she saw a little baby, she became alert, even when she had Alzheimer's. Baby! So all she'd say, baby, baby, which meant she wanted a baby. She wanted to hold the baby. God helps you and I to grow up. We're growing up now. We're growing up in God's church and in his knowledge and in wisdom and understanding. We are his babies. And we're to grow. And we are growing. The more we study, the more we pray, the more we obey. God wants you and I to be in his family forever. He wants to show you. He wants to show me everything he has planned. Try and wrap your mind around that. I've tried for years to try and wrap out, what is this going to be? It's going to be on anything you and I can think of. We see things happening now, like these robots or whatever they call them that are getting now. I mean, 30 years ago, you would never have thought about that stuff. But you see, that just shows that there's so much you and I do not know. But we're going to. And we're going to be a part of it. That's why God has called you and I. He loves each and every one of us, and we are precious in his sight. He did not call you or I to fail. He called us to be in his family, a part of his family. Now we're a part of his family, growing, but we're going to be a big family one day. We're a small group now. But one day, once Christ has returned, God will rule from that holy city. And he wants you and I to be there. He wants to be there so we can be with him and do as he says. And he will instruct us and understand us, and our minds will be so open to what there really is. And you'll say, wow, we didn't know anything, did we? And we thought we were smart. Those smart people who thought they were just above everybody else, you know, and snubbed people. No, he told us we're to love all people. We're to love everyone. And especially when you think about love your family, the family he's put us with now. What a blessing. What a blessing for you and I. In Matthew 22:37, go over it again. It says, Jesus said to him, well, it says, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again he tells us, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on those laws. Because God is perfect. You know, Jesus Christ told back in, let's go to John 14, that he had to go somewhere. Where did he say he had to go when he was leaving us? He had to leave. Remember, he was going to die on that cross or on that pole for us. But what did he say he was going to do? He said he was just going to go up there and be with his father and whatever his father said to do. Well, he said, oh, I got the wrong book. Ooh. All right, here we go. John 14:2. Let's go to verse 1. This is Christ speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Christ has left us the way to go. God has preserved the Bible, His holy word, for all these generations, that you and I and others who are being called can know the truth. And we have been blessed to understand. And basically, you basically said, yes, I'll do this, sir. Yes, I want to be a part of your family. Yes, I want to be in your divine kingdom. Yes, I want to be with you in Christ for eternity and with each other. Doing the jobs that our Father wants us, the family, to do. And we're all family. The only way you and I can do this is staying close to God. If we let anything else get in the way of us being close to God, and Satan is definitely out there trying to pull you away, trying to pull you away, and trying to pull me away. Because what? Satan hates God. Satan hates you because you love God. He really hates you because you've answered a calling he's given you. He hates each of us. And he will do anything, as was pointed out in a sermonette. Look what he did to Job. And God had that much faith in Job that he was a loyal person to him. And Job was. He knew how strong Job was. Do you think you would have had that attitude? With everything taken away from you, you were up here. Woo! You were top man in the area. You're top. And you went down to nothing. Even his friends didn't understand. And they kept wanting him to, you know, say what he'd done. What he'd done. He didn't know. I hadn't done anything. And he asked God, why'd you do this to me? His wife told him, just do it and just get over with. Die. You know. You know, you who are out there and watching right now, you're going through trials. And some have been going through these trials for years. But you know, God has that seed in you, and you are still growing. You're growing because you love God and you still want to be part of this family, and that's why you tune in, and we're sure glad you do. Because we would sure like to have you here. And we need to count our blessings that we are here. And I hope you count your blessings that with the media and stuff that we're able to do things with and have a webcast, that you're able to see us. See the speakers. See the crowd. Say, oh yeah, I remember them. I haven't seen him in that. That's how you feel. It'd be like rejuvenation, like you'd want to come up and just hug them. They walked in the door. What would you do? You'd go up and hug them. Because the family, he or she is better. She's with us again. She's able to come and attend. All of them who are not able to come would love to be here. That's why we have cards go out for you to sign. They need our encouragement. They need to see something a little personal, maybe signed on it, or maybe you send them your own card. Might put a little smiley face on it, or just saying, I miss you. I remember when I had my heart bypass, I think I was out probably 4 weeks, and got a lot of letters or cards. And I guarantee you, they love every card you send them. And they read every card you send them. Because it means so much that the family is caring for them and loves them and misses them. I've never heard someone tell me, oh, I'm glad he didn't send a card. No, they'll say, tell him I really appreciate the cards. Thank him for sending the card. That's the church and the private cards that go out. But anytime I visit someone, that's one of the first things they say. Oh, tell the church that we really appreciate the cards. It puts a little bit of hope and love into their life whenever we send a card. We need to make sure that we continue to show that love, not only to our own family, but to those who are sinners. Because that's what God says. We're to love them. Not love what they do. No, no. But love them. Because they are human just like you and I. They have not been blessed. Or if some of them may have had the opportunity to be called and turned away from it. That's their responsibility. And we've had some who've been in the church who have left the church. Left everything they knew. And it just blows my mind. But you know, the one commandment, of course, is the one to tell you to love God. It's this Sabbath and this holy days. They do not want to be different from the world. They want to be part of the world. Because that's what everybody accepts. And you're not different. Yes, you and I are different. You and I are different, and how blessed we are to be different. Because we have God's Word guiding and directing us. We are a chosen and royal priesthood. To be a royal priesthood. You and I. If you look in a mirror, is that what you see now? Probably not. Hopefully we're looking that way and say, yeah, I'm going to be there. You know, because I know the path. And the path is what? Obeying God. I have the hope if I call on God. And if I'm seeking God first, as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is his laws, we will never go wrong. How can you go wrong if you're seeking God first and everything he says? We couldn't go wrong, but we're human. And Satan is the biggest deceiver there is. He's that roaring lion that hates you and me. And he will do anything in his power to have you get discouraged, have you give up, saying, well, what's the use? I'm just a plumber, or I'm just a, you know, who am I? I'll tell you who you are. Right now, you're one precious baby of God. Each and every one of us are. Because each and every one of us are so precious to Him. Can you imagine how He feels every time He sees a child born? I hope this one makes it. I hope this one listens. I hope I can call him and he'll listen. Think about that. He called you and I. As we know then, we know that we're not the great and the mighty. We're the ones that he had to take from the lower section and bring us up. And when we listened and obeyed, he continues to work with us. Once we have the picture, the big picture, don't get tied down on this tiny world we live in. This is a world that is, if your life spans 100 years, the world that God is promising you is that universe out there you see at night when you see all those stars. You're going to be a part of that. You and I will have something to do. What it will be, I do not know. But God has a position for each of us, or He wouldn't have called us. As Peter said, or as, excuse me, not Peter, Timothy said, you know, he finished a race. He did what needed to be done. He obeyed God. He was blessed to be with the apostles and them. He was blessed to be hated by man. Because he wasn't serving man. He was serving God, who was going to let him be a part of serving all mankind. In a whole different world. In God's world. In God's family. In Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you'll turn there with me. I'm sure a lot of you have this one in your memory. There's no here where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in the mercies of God, in the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The very next line, and do not be conformed to this world, for this is Satan's world, only as long as God allows it to be. As we know, he's going to be put away. He'll be taken care of. Not the way he wants, of course. He's not going to be exalted in any way. But that's what he wants to be. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is perfect. Christ is perfect. Christ gave his life for you and me. He wants you. He wants me. He wants all of us in here and all of you out there to look forward to his return. That's what his plan is. We started off with Passover, and then days unleavened bread, putting sin out of our lives. 7 days you eat that bread saying, keep sin out of your life. Every day, put sin out, every time you eat it. Does that not come to mind? I need to put sin out of my life. It is so important he has 7 days. It's the longest feast there is. 7 days of unleavened bread. He knows how important it is that you and I are fighting Satan and his deceptions, lies, whatever else it may be. Because he knows that if he can get puffiness in you, oh, I'm pretty good, you know. Oh, man, I should have been made a deacon, or I should have been made a minister or a deaconess, or, you know. You know what? I'm so thankful to have Fred Keller and them back. But Fred Keller puts some things pretty simple sometimes, you know. And he's down to earth in a lot of ways. And he helps you understand things. We're blessed to have him here in more ways than one. Ron finally has someone who has some energy. Joe and I are somehow not far up as he is, because he seems to have more energy than I can imagine. I probably didn't have that energy from the time I hit 70. But he's just a bowl of energy, a bowl of knowledge. And he loves God. Just as we love each other here. And he loves you. He loves being a part. When he said on his task that one night, you know, he says, you know, Dayton's very fortunate. They have a lot of people doing a lot of work. Everybody wants to help. Not all church areas are that way. We love each other and we love serving each other. We love serving God. And God loves us because of it. Because he sees growth in each of us. Every time we go to Passover, think about it. That is a growth step for you and me. Because you're willing to what? Reconfirm your commitment to God. And saying, I want to be with you, God. I want to be like you. Help me more. Please forgive me of this and this and this and this and that. And when you come out of there, it's wonderful. You have a load taken off your mind. Because through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And God does that every year so that we do not have to carry the burdens of something we may have forgot that we did. Or something and not drag it along. Our blessings, as Art Clark, I told you before, said, count your blessings one by one. No, he said, count your blessings ton by ton and one by one. We need to count more on those blessings that we could receive from God every day. Because, you know, we're never to take God for granted. We're never to take his blessings, his love for you and me. He wants you and I to do the best we can and be a part of his family now and forever. It's up to us. He gave us the word. We need to study. We need to pray. And first of all, as we talked earlier, we need to keep him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness are his commandments. And we are to love one another, and we're to love our neighbor. Because God loves each and every one of us. He doesn't agree with those who are disobeying, but he still loves them. And he still wants them, hopefully, that they may change once they have their opportunity to understand. You and I have our understanding now. We are truly blessed. Sometimes, when things are tough, sometimes we don't think that, maybe. But God knows us. Just see New Job. And Job was a good man. But Satan was saying, well, I'll tell you, I can defeat this guy. He didn't defeat him. Took everything physically away from him. I'm glad you spoke on that today. Because, you know, he said what? God blessed him and God allowed it to be taken away. And he knew if God wanted to bless him, he could bless him again and have everything back. And sure enough, he did, didn't he? Because of his obedience. God restored him more. Through our obedience, God will restore us more. The big restorers will be in his kingdom. You and I are chosen to be a part of the royal priesthood. Turn with me to Revelation 22. Well, let me go. Let's take mine's just on. Let's go back to Revelation 21:9, where it talks about the New Jerusalem. I didn't really have that in my notes, I don't think, but yeah, I do. These verses describe the New Jerusalem. Read them. I'm not going to read them today, but I want you to read it. That is where you and I want to be. If we're in New Jerusalem, we're with God for eternity. We were doing exactly what God wants. Look how beautiful it is. Streets are of gold. The walls you can see through and are 2 foot thick. We think gold is something in this physical life, right? Oh, God, well, if I had some gold, man, I could do this, I could do that, I'd be rich. Oh, man, I would. See, what's worth in God's kingdom is something you'll walk on. We win if we make it to God's new city, New Jerusalem. And now I'll take you to chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life. You and I will get to eat of the tree of life. Who passed up their chance? Who messed up this world? Adam and Eve. They didn't listen to God. He said you can have anything but the one tree, and that was the one tree they went after. They didn't probably go after it, but Satan pulled them in. I don't know if it was the first time that Satan tried it, or the 20th time, whatever. But the point is, if you listen to the world, if you listen to the wrong stuff, you will do the wrong stuff. Someone very close to me listened to what happened in 1995. Kept reading the junk that was being put out. And took them right out. Because he didn't stop reading the junk. We cannot straddle the line. You're either for me or against me. You have two choices. Back in Matthew, it tells you, either choose God or choose mammon. Which Satan puts before you to tempt you. Let's be sure we make the right choice. Let's be sure you and I continue to grow in God's grace and knowledge. Let's be sure that you and I are there so we can eat of the tree of life. That's our calling. Our calling is to be with God and a part of His family for whatever forever is. I have no idea. Or you can choose this world. It's your choice. And you're going to have to make it because Satan will throw it at you. If you live to be 100 here, you lived a long time, and after you get so old, I want to tell you it's not as easy as it was before. You have aches and pains you never had when you was 25, 30. So it really isn't a great place. It's a place that we're being developed. But it's a place that God is going to bring down His holy city. And this is where He will rule from. And you and I will have a mansion waiting for us because Christ said there would be if we obey and do His will. And that's where we want to be. We want to be with Christ now and forever. You and I need to understand how big that holy city is. Have you ever figured out 1,500 square mile? That's Jerusalem. 1,500 square mile, one city. One city. That's God's holy city, New Jerusalem. If you put it on the United States, you would almost do 2/3 of the United States. That's the city. That's where God's people who have chosen and who have listened and have obeyed will be. Because Christ has set a place for you and me to be there. Let's make sure that you and I do not give up life eternal for the short period of physical life that Satan will throw at you and me. God loves you. Christ died for you because God asked Him to. And because of that, you and I are here today, understanding His truth and growing on His holy Sabbath day. The one commandment that all other people want to try and do away with, probably about 1%. When you add the holy days, well, that takes away probably 99%. But God has opened your mind to understand that. Open my mind to understand it. I am to be here today with you, and this is not today. The senior center. This today is God's house because that's where He has put His name for you and I to attend and to become a family serving Him. So as a reminder, 2 Timothy 4:7-8 again. You don't have to turn there. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And me, and not me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. Have a great Sabbath.